वक्रतुंडमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा। सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी, विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा। समस्त जन कल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुर्ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। जय गणेश जय गणेश जय गणेश पाहि माम।
जय गणेश जय गणेश जय गणेश पाहि माम।
श्री गणेश श्री गणेश श्री गणेश रक्ष माम।
श्री गणेश श्री गणेश श्री गणेश रक्ष माम।
जय गणेश जय गणेश जय गणेश पाहि माम।
जय गणेश जय गणेश जय गणेश पाहि माम।
श्री गणेश श्री गणेश श्री गणेश रक्ष माम।
श्री गणेश श्री गणेश श्री गणेश रक्ष माम।
जय गणेश जय गणेश जय गणेश पाहि माम।
जय गणेश जय गणेश जय गणेश पाहि माम।
श्री गणेश श्री गणेश श्री गणेश रक्ष माम।
श्री गणेश श्री गणेश श्री गणेश रक्ष माम।
जय गणेश जय गणेश जय गणेश पाहि माम।
जय गणेश जय गणेश जय गणेश पाहि माम।
श्री गणेश श्री गणेश श्री गणेश रक्ष माम।
श्री गणेश श्री गणेश श्री गणेश रक्ष माम।
जय गणेश जय गणेश जय गणेश पाहि माम।
जय गणेश जय गणेश जय गणेश पाहि माम।
श्री गणेश श्री गणेश श्री गणेश रक्ष 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 माम।
जय गणेश पाहि माम।
जय गणेश पाहि माम।
गुरु गजानन स्वामी महाराज की
जय।
Okay, so today we have to see Manisha Panchakam. Five verses on a firm conviction of Adi Shankaracharya. And how it starts is very interesting also. There's a small skeletal story as to the origin of this wonderful little text. It is said that one morning, Shankaracharya with his all disciples, they had taken their early morning bath in Ganga near Kashi Vishwanath in Banaras. Those of you who have traveled, you will know that Ganga is just walking distance from that Kashi Vishwanath in the city of Banaras. Lord Shiva is called as Kashi Vishwanath. Vishwanath. And the first thing that any pilgrim does there is to go and take a bath in Ganga and then go there for darshan. And so with his disciples, he had just taken bath and he was coming. And in the opposite direction, that Shvapaka was coming. What's it called? Chandala. One who is an outcast. And from the distance, he saw this Chandala coming. And he shouted out, "Gacha, gacha!" Means go away, move away. Why? Because the tradition had it that if this pious Brahmin is coming, and even if the shadow of that chandal falls on him, he becomes defiled. So the great Acharya shouted from the distance, "What will happen? You have to go back and take another bath." So he shouted, "Gacha, gacha," means go, go, go away, move away. And the chandal gave a most wonderful reply to this command of the Acharya. And that is what it starts with here now, you'll see. I'll chant those lines. Please try to repeat. Annamaya dannamaya mathava
Annamaya dannamaya mathava
Chaitanyameva chaitanyat
Chaitanyameva chaitanyat
Dvijavarak duri kartum vanchasi
Dvijavarak duri kartum vanchasi
Kimbruhi gaccha gaccheti
Kimbruhi gaccha gaccheti.
Chandal asked now to the great Acharya, "Kimbruhi gaccha gaccha iti? Who are you telling? Why are you telling? What are you telling?" Kim has all of these meaning. Who are you telling to move? From where to where? That is the first thing. Who do you want to move? Move away. Annamayat, annamayam, athava chaitanyam eva chaitanyat. Do you want annamaya? Means this body, annamaya kosha, you know that, na? The body is called annamaya kosha. So you want this body to move away from your body, or you want the chaitanya which is here inside to move away from the chaitanya which is there? That's quite simple, but it is not so simple. So who do you want to move? Duri kartum vanchati. Who do you desire to move away? When you say gaccha gaccha. So if you want this body to move away from that body, well, both of them are made up of the five elements. And not only that, see, there's five elements here and there's five elements there in that body. And in between also there's the five elements. Right? So where would the five elements move and go where? Because in between here there is space, there is air, there is fire, there is water, there is earth. In between. Earth? In between? Yes. There is dust flying in the air, na? There is earth only. And there is heat. There is fire. Everything is here, in between also. And in here also five are there, and in you also five are there. Now, tell. Do you want this body to go away? It cannot go anywhere. And the Atma Chaitanya principle, that is in me, it is in you, and it is all pervasive. It is sarvavyapi. Then, where would the Chaitanya go? Shankaraya, Acharya scratched his head and he thought, this couldn't be simple chandal, you know. In fact, what had happened, the tradition has it, he was going to get darshan of Kashi Vishwanath. Vishwanathji himself had taken the chandal form and come here. In other words, Vishwanathji was saying, you know, before you come and get my darshan there, I have to come and remove some wrong notion from your mind here. Means, if I remove this wrong notion from your mind here, when you come there, you will get clear darshan. Right now, there is something clouding your mind. If I remove that cloud, when you come there, you get nice darshan. But that only happens, the Lord comes to grace like that, only also because He is worthy of that, you know. Other thing is that many questions are asked in the beginning itself, you know. This is great Shankaracharya, realized soul, realized master. And then how he can fall prey to some such narrow vision that there is a difference between chandal and... If he's realized soul, students are, in fact, as students in ashram, this is... I don't know the rest of students, but this is the first question that came in my mind. If he is a realized master, he is supposed to see oneness, you know, vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane kavihastini shunichvaiva shvapakecha. Shvapaka, same is coming here. One who is a dog eater, and a dog, an elephant, a cow, and in a learned brahmana, he sees pandita samadarshinaha. He sees the one reality existing equally in all things. So then, how the Acharya fell prey to this narrow vision if he is such a great realized soul? So the most proficient answer, I think, effective answer to that type of question is, it is not that the Acharya fell prey to anything. It is that he was a revolutionary. He was trying to bring about a revolution in society itself. Remember what type of society he encountered in the 7th century or the 8th century in which he was born. And he had to make so many changes in society. And one of the deep malaise, or one of the deep disease of the society at the time, was this great and strong, overwhelming caste system, which is even persisting up till today. And so many Mahatmas have fought against this thing. See, even Mahatma Gandhiji, how much of his life he spent to fight against this. How much the great Shankaracharya would have spent to remove this cancer of the society. In fact, it is this one cancer of our society that caused the fabric of the society itself to be weakened. See, if some invaders from outside Hindu society is coming and invading and then ravaging and demolishing and all of these things, right? We say, oh, maybe some bad karma we did or something. Some people from outside, they're coming and, you know, looting and plundering, ravaging everything. But when a people turn on themselves, the people by themselves turn on them, like a scorpion turning its tail and stinging itself, means when your own people subject your own people to serfdom and subject them to a state of servitude or a lesser state, or you damage the psychology of your people, you really butter your people from inside, that is worse than any person coming from outside. And because from outside, you know, you could see the enemy, is hidden. Just like the enemy inside the palace in Ayodhya caused the trouble from inside itself. So, as a people, we have turned on ourselves like that by a small group subjecting the majority to some sort of relegating them to some sort of inferior position, and then putting strong boundaries also, that one cannot come from here to there and all that sort of thing. You are relegated to that position for the rest of existence. You see, very, very deep malaise the Acharya had to face at that time. So, he, remember, Kashi Vishwanath, Lord Shiva, Shankaracharya is Shiva incarnation only. So what he's doing? He's playing a drama with himself, isn't it? He's playing a drama with himself to remove this malaise. Then when he plays this drama, it sends a strong message to humanity, to his people, that this sort of thing has to be removed. What a nice drama to play with himself there. So, he appears in one form, manifesting the malaise of the society, and he appears in another form, trying to remove the malaise. Same one, Bhagavan Shiva. So, the question is very, very potent. What do you want to move from where to where? And then, he continues now. Chandal continues. And he asked most wonderful, potent questions.
Gangambuni bimbate mbaramanau.
Kim Gangambuni bimbate mbaramanau.
Chandalavati payaha.
Chandalavati payaha.
Ure chantaramastivan kanchanaghati.
Ure chantaramastivan kanchanaghati.
Mritkum. Mbayor vambare
Mrityum mbayor vambare
Pratyagvastuni nistaranga sahaja
Pratyagvastuni nistaranga sahaja
Nandavabodham budhau
Nandavabodham budhau
Viproyam shvapachoyam it Tyapi Mahan
Viproyam Shvapachoyam Ityapi Mahan
Koyam Vibheda Brahmaha
Koyam Vibheda Brahmaha
Vipraha Ayam Shvapachaha Ayam Iti Api Mahan Koyam Vibheda Brahmaha Between a Vipra Brahmana and Shvapachaha. Shvapachaha means dog, one who cooks. Pacha means to cook. Who cooks? Dogs. Well, he not just cook it for anything, you know. It means he who eats dogs. Huh? When I read this, you know, I remember. I don't know if you have heard, but we say that Chinese people eat dogs, na? I think they learn from us only. Because this is there in Sanskrit language from such ancient times. See, Bhagavad Gita is old. Dwarka, they just dug up 30,000 years, they said, from the ocean. And Bhagavan Shri Krishna gave Gita before Dwarka. So, or that time, 30,000 years. And that word is there in Gita also. So anyway, this difference is all delusion that anybody has. If he sees that there is a difference between a Brahmana and a dog eater, if he sees that difference can only be born from delusion. Brahma. Vivedaha. Brahma. All distinction. In fact, this is the most wonderful
idea you have to remember. All distinctions which we see can only be born from delusion. In fact and in truth, there is no distinction. Every single thing in the universe is made up of one thing. There's only one thing in the universe. So if I'm seeing many things, it means that there is some delusion somewhere there. It means I have missed the one thing and I'm seeing the many. The only way I can see the many is when I have missed the one. The only way I can see the snake is when I have missed the rope. If in the first instance I see this rope, I can never see snake. First I have to miss the rope. Then only seeing snake is possible. So first I have to miss the one, then only I can see the many. That thing is called a delusion. When I miss the one and I see the many. When I miss the rope and see the snake, then I'm deluded. Delusion is, it really means that whatever is the fact or the truth or the reality or what is, I am not seeing that, but I am seeing or thinking or understanding something else. That thing is called as delusion. So he says, now, Ganga Ambuni, in the Ganga water, the reflection of Ambara Manav. Ambara Manav means the sun, Surya Bhagavan. Ambara means space, and Manav is Mani is that jewel of the space. Now, when you look in the space, there is only one great jewel, you know. Sometimes some people say moon also is nice jewel. But the best jewel in space is sun. So the sun reflected Bimbite. Reflected in the Ganga water, or that same sun reflected in Chandala Vatipaya, in the water of the, you know, in the gutters of the slums, where all the Chandalas live. They live in a certain part of the city or wherever, in the slum there, and that water in that drain, you know, dirty water. So the Surya Bhagavan reflecting in Ganga, or reflecting in this dirty drain water, now, does it in any way affect or change the nature of Surya Bhagavan? The sun in the sky remains the sun in the sky. What it means to say, the consciousness reflecting in you, O great Brahmin, and the consciousness reflecting in me, does it do anything to consciousness? The consciousness is one and doesn't do anything. So, if Bhagwan Shankaracharya was not playing a role, this would have been some devastating questions. But good thing he's playing a nice role there. So he must be smiling inside, you know. See, remember, he has his 10-12 disciples with him. So this will send a strong message to all of these disciples. Not only that, since he is Jagat Guru, Guru of the world, it means to say whatever is transpiring in the life of the Guru at this moment, that message will also be sent down to the whole world. So, the drama is going to have a rippling effect to everybody. It's going to have a most wonderful effect. Pure chant. Cha antaha pure chantaram asti kanchana ghati mit kumbhayoho va ambare, and the space ambara which is there inside a kanchana ghati, a golden pot, and the space which is there in a earthen pot, fully the space fills both of them. Does it do anything to the quality of the space if it is in a golden pot? It really does. So you may have a Brahmin body born of Brahmin parents, and I may have a chandal body born of chandal parents. But the Atma which is there in me and the Atma which is there in you, that really, that body or this body doesn't change the quality of the Atma. Atma remains same. There is absolutely no change. Pratyag vastuni, the indwelling principle, indwelling consciousness, which is nistaranga sahaja anandava bodham ambudha, which is in the space inside, which is of the nature of pure bliss, which is established pure bliss, and which is without any modulations or any, what we call, movements, like waves, you know, waves like this. So that Atma which is inside, which is established and which is of the nature of pure bliss, that Atma is the same in you, is same in me, same inside, same outside, and nothing, of none of the conditionings can really do anything to that Atma. This is the Gyan of the Chandal coming out from his lips. So, I wish I was present to see Shankaracharya's face and how he played this drama, because he's playing with himself. So it would have been wonderful to see his acting capacity. So the Atma, which is the self, the bliss conscious self, blissful conscious self, the inner self, which is devoid of all ripples, Gurudev said. That is nistaranga, nistaranga, but no ripples in the self. One uniform, blissful self. And it is that same self which is reflecting in you, reflecting in me. It is the same self which is manifested as all things. Two theories he gives there. One is what is called as Pratibimbavad. Pratibimbavad means the theory of reflection. Theory of reflection. Theory of reflection. The first one, when he talks about the sun reflecting in the gutter water or in the Ganga, in Ganga water, is called as Pratibimbavad. It means to say, the rishis have come up with a couple of theories in the Upanishads about how the self is existing in all things in the world. They say that the self is reflecting. For example, in me, the self is reflecting in my BMI. Reflecting, as a, like the sun reflecting in this water. So that is called a Pratibimbavad. The other theory is Avachedavad, means it is the same consciousness which is now conditioned by my body, mind and intellect, and is called as Atma. It is conditioned, not modified, not split, or not changed in any way. You know, like for example, when if you have 1 liter of milk here, and you put some little dahi in that, that milk changes the next day into curd. You still have 1 liter, but it is not the same 1 liter of the same thing, isn't it? Change into something. Now we don't have any special machine yet developed by technology where you can put this dahi in the machine and the next day you get back milk. It doesn't happen, isn't it? Once that change has happened, finish. So it is not that Bhagwan has changed into this world. It is that the Lord has just, through his Maya, conditioned himself and so appears as this. What do you mean, condition himself? It is, you have to just take some examples to understand that. Simple example. See, when the potter, the clay pot maker, Kumhar, when he takes that clay and he shapes it into a pot. Right? Really, he has not done anything to clay. Clay's properties still remain as clay. It is not like the milk changing into curd. Those properties are different now, isn't it? So the clay, which is in a clump, now shaped into a pot, the clay has just become conditioned by the form of pot. It has not really gone through any change, really. So if you just take the same clay again, and you fold it up back, you know what is Play-Doh? In the school, the children use Play-Doh. So you just go on taking the same dough and you make a donkey, monkey, frog, dog, hog, anything you can make with that, isn't it? It really, really does nothing to the Play-Doh. It remains all same. So you can dissolve that form of donkey and now make form of monkey. So that is called avachedavadi. You're taking a form and conditioning the basic material. You're fashioning the material into some form. Like that. So, Atma, a Paramatma, has just been conditioned by this body, mind, and intellect. It means it appears as though the Paramatma has taken the form of this body, mind, and intellect, but it has not touched Paramatma. It has not done anything to Paramatma. And the previous one, that is called Pratibimba. The body, mind, intellect is there, and the Paramatma is just reflecting in this body, mind, intellect. There are two ways of saying one and same thing, actually. Efficient use of words to say one and same. So, they're given different names, those vadas. So, Shankaracharya now looks. Oh, this Chandal is very chalak, I think. He knows about all vadas also. Pratibimbavad, avachedavad. When he hears these words from this Chandala, then it is said the great Acharya fell dandavat and did pranam to this Chandala. Now see, even in the acting has to, you have to carry out the role. Now what to do? You can't leave the role. Once he was sitting like this, so he was telling, you know, really the world is just an appearance. Everything is just appearing to be like that. Really, it is just Satchidananda, Paramatma. But there's this appearance. The whole world is an appearance. It's not real. You don't take it to be real. So while he was teaching this, and a wild elephant started running amok and was tearing down trees, buildings, houses, anything in his path, it was coming. And all the villagers, everybody started running helter-skelter. So all the disciples who were sitting there, Shankaracharya was teaching, they all got up and ran away. And Shankaracharya also got up and ran and hid behind a tree. And that elephant came through and tore down everything, demolished the whole place and went away. Then after it went, everybody emerged from behind their hiding places and all, you know. Peeped out first to make sure that the coast is clear. And Shankaracharya also came out from behind a tree and he sat down. And slowly all the students returned one by one. So one student said, Guruji, you were telling, you know, that the whole world is an appearance. But when that elephant came, you ran and hid. Why didn't you take the elephant to be an appearance also? It's not real, it's just an appearance. Shankaracharya said, yes, I also appeared to have run and hid. Why do you take only half the thing to be appearance and the other half not to be appearance? You see, if you're taking it to be appearance, everything has to be appearance. So, playing the role now, this role, here he's appeared as Brahmana, here he has appeared as Chandal, and he now entered into this drama. Well, there's a wonderful story where Bhagwan Sri Ram shoots Bali, Ramlila. Trinidad Ramlila is very nice, you should come and see. It's big time there. Now government also is funding. Shri Ram shoots Bali. Bali stands up. He doesn't die. So the director started sweating. Are you should die. Huh? Mar jao. So this Bali said, no, I am not dying. Why? We have done so much of rehearsal and so much of practice and I have died so many times. Are you, now let Sugriv die at least. I'm fed up dying. Too many times. So, if you have entered the drama, this is the script. This you have to play, na? Cannot suddenly. So now when the Chandala has given Gyan, to the one who has received Gyan, he has to prostrate now. So he prostrates there. And then he bursts forth in these five verses, which is now called as Manisha Panchakam. Panchakam means five. Manisha means a strong conviction here, Kuladev Kir's translation. One who has strong conviction. And Manisha actually means that individual who has come to realize the self and who has a firm and strong conviction in the reality of the self. He's called as Manisha. Manisha. Manisha's name is common also, na? Yeah. Yes, Manish. Manish means one who has, if you look at the word also, you know, it gives the sense of one who has really discovered himself and he has come to fully be convinced that I am the self. There is no doubt about this thing. He call it Manish. So here, he tells now, Shankaracharya, as these verses emanate. It's wonderful how spontaneously verses used to just emanate from his lips. Bhaja Govinda, when he sees this old man chanting Sanskrit grammar, also those verses just came out. Now see here, which is this first verse that comes out from his lips. Jagrat swapna sushupti jagrat swapna sushupti sputitara asputatara
jagrat swapna sushupti sputatara
yasam vidujhrimbate
yasam vidujhrimbate
ya brahmadi pipilikantatanushu
ya brahmadi pipilikantatanushu
prota jagat sakshini
prota jagat sakshini
saivaham na cha drishyavatviti driha
saivaham na cha drishyavatviti drudha
saivaham na cha drishyavastviti driha
saivaham na cha drishyavastviti driha
prajñapi yasyasti chet
prajñapi yasyasti chet
chandalostu satu dvijostu guruhu
chandalostu satu dvijostu guruhu
ityesha manisha mama okay, just split this sandhi there a little bit. Oh, iti esha manisha mama. This is my firm conviction. What is my firm conviction? That the person chandalaha astu satu dvijaha astu guruhu. This is my mama guruhu. Means this person is my guru. This is my firm conviction, whether he is a chandala or whether he is a brahmana. It is my firm conviction that he is my guru. He is my guru. How he became my guru? Because he has realized this absolute truth. He has realized this absolute one reality which is there in the universe. And that one reality which he has realized is described in the first three lines there. So the last line is telling that person is my guru. And this is my firm conviction. That person is my guru. Whether he is Chandala or whether he is a Brahmana. And that person which he is speaking about now, who is my guru, that person is described in the first three lines. He has realized this reality, this truth. What he has realized and what is he sure about? He's sure about that that person has come to know Jagrat Swapna Sushuptishu Sputatara Ya Samvidudjrimbhate. That he has come to realize that one consciousness, a supreme consciousness, which is there in the same in the waking, dream, and deep sleep. And not only is it one uniform reality which is there, but it is there and enlivening. Vijramate means it is making these three states come to life as though. Think, you know the best example for this Gurudev used to always give? We used to see it when Gurudev comes in the ashram. But Gurudev used to give the example of the king coming. When the king is coming, oh, the sweepers come on the street and quickly they sweep the street also because he's going to pass there. And everything starts mobilizing, you don't know how. The whole village gets mobilized when the king is coming. Now the king doesn't tell anybody to sweep, you know. He doesn't tell, hey, take that broom and sweep there, I'm coming. But somehow his mere presence make everything work. Yasya sannidhi matrena, I said. In whose presence everything works. So here, this reality, in whose presence all things work. And in particular, this BMI works in the waking state, in the dream state, and in the deep sleep state. So in the waking state, it makes the BMI perceive all of this. Dream state, it makes the mind concoct a whole new world with me as one of the persons in that world also. I project a second me because there's one me sleeping on that bed. And then there's a second me running from that tiger. Isn't it? So the mind is able to do that in the presence of this reality, in the presence of this consciousness. And here, the body, mind, intellect is able to perceive this world only in the presence of that consciousness. This is what is being spoken about. And in the deep sleep, what does it do now? In the deep sleep, there is the awareness of the absence of things. In deep sleep, there is awareness also. Here there is the awareness of presence of things, isn't it? There is the awareness of the presence of this book. In deep sleep also there is awareness. There is awareness of the absence of everything. So, it is that same consciousness which is causing all of these three states to exist and to function and to persist. All three states. And I keep going from state to state. You have to be careful about that also. We go from state to state. So recently, I was telling some other audience about. So I was asking that audience, which state do you think we are in most of the time? Think about that time. That is actually a fact. We are most of the time in dream state. Out of the 24 hours, even while we think that we are waking for 15 or 16 hours per day, we are really not. In that 15 or 16 hours, we might be awake for a very few moments only, most of the time. That is why it's called daydreaming. So dream state is the most pervasive state. And the next, and the most favorite state? Sleep state, of course. Mm-hmm. So one is more pervasive, one is more favorite. And the one which we are supposed to be, Jagrata Utishtha. The Upanishad says, wake up! Like that. That's why you have to tell. So we ask, why the Upanishad has to tell me to wake up? I'm to be reading it, I have to be awake. But it knows that we are most of the time dreaming. So whether it is most of the time dreaming, most of the time sleeping, or most of the time waking, still, it is all the three states are enlivened by, or made possible by this reality which is present. Had it not been for that reality, no state is possible. Ya Brahmadi, from up, from all the way from Brahmaji, Pipilikanta Tanushu, in all bodies, whether it's a Brahmaji's body or the body of a little ant. Ant here means, and not like uncle ant. Ant means the ant that walks. This other ant. So whether it's from Brahmaji to a little ant, all are pervaded by Prota. All are interwoven with, are pervaded by this reality. And it is Jagat Sakshi. This reality, see, is the witness of all of the things happening, but it's a special type of witness. See, look here. There are two types of witness. One is a witness that is aloof. A witness that is aloof and really has no contribution to make in the thing witnessed. Huh? That is one type of witness. It's udasina. Udasina means above and aloof, and whatever is going on is just like, for example, when you go to see the movie. Now look here. On that screen there comes out this Gabbar Singh. Then that Amitabh Bachchan comes from behind. And he do them start fighting. So Gabbar Singh is winning. Is Amitabh Bachchan is losing. But you want Amitabh Bachchan to win and Gabbar Singh to lose, isn't it? Now, if there's anything you could do? You can't do anything, isn't it? That is going on there, and whatever is transpiring there, you just have to be witness, isn't it? It's an unconnected witness. You can't do anything. So that is one type of witness. But Atma is not that type of witness. Atma is the Paramatma. Witness of all these three states and witness of all the BMIs in the universe is not merely that type of witness. In addition to that, it is the witness that causes the thing to happen also. Without which that cannot happen. You see? Like the king, while the people are seeing the king passing, and the king is the witness of all things passing also, the king sees everybody doing everything. He sees the sweeper sweeping. But not only is he seeing the sweeper sweeping, but he is also an influence on the sweeper to sweep, isn't it? He's at the same time the force behind the sweeper. So he's a witness of the sweeper and a force also behind the sweeper. Without which, nobody will sweep anything. You see? So the two type of function role. So the Sakshi word, he has to both have to be there. Huh? When, don't just take as an uninvolved witness. No. He's also that which is causing this whole drama to happen. The whole drama of the BMI and the whole universe. Sa eva aham nacha drishya vastu. I am that supreme consciousness. I am not the BMI, drishyavastu. Drishyavastu means that which is seen, which is objectified, which is witnessed. So, it is my firm conviction that I am a guru of that person who's, I am the disciple of that guru who sees this. Who sees what? Who knows and sees that I am the pure Paramatma and the pure Atma. I am Atma and Paramatma is same. Just one. I hope those words, technical words, you know already. So I am the pure Paramatma, not the BMI, which is witnessed, which is a vastu, which is an objectified thing. So, the verses are really designed for those people who are engaged in meditation, you know, who are able able to sit down and to see all things transpiring in the BMI, all things going, all thoughts coming and going, and to know that I am the absolute consciousness, the supreme Paramatma, in whose presence all of these things are transpiring, and also who knows that all of these things are transpiring. There's the two role of Sakshi there. First is witness of all things transpiring, and in whose presence also all things transpire. So the person who is able to sit quietly and to see now all these functions of the BMI going on, that type of meditation has to be done. So the verses are meant for people like that, really. So what we have to do in our in our class here, just to explain the verses, they all the time goes. So in your spare time, you sit down and you take, you know, your good old time or whatever time you can spare for that, and sit down. And then watch all the activities of the body. Watch all the activities of the mind, you know. All these emotions coming. All the thoughts of the intellect coming and going. And one should become quieter and quieter to see every subtle thought creeping in from some corner of the mind. Creeping in. They come and stay for a little while and they go away. And the quieter one becomes, the better one will be able to see all of these coming and going. And then, to come to the realization that I am really none of them. I am the silent Sakshi of all of them. I am the silent witness of all of them. And to develop a nishtha, a settledness, an establishment in that state is what is required. So the verses are meant for that thing. Not merely to study in this 1 hour class, but the verses are meant for you to sit long, long, long years of meditation. And we should have so much of fortitude and resilience and so much of patience and so much of determination that I say, I am not going to stop until I get it. I'm not going to stop until I... And don't think that it'll happen in a day or two also. Some people meditate hard, you know, for 2 days. Oh, Swamiji, nothing is happening. He said that once, one sadhak, he was sitting under a tree and he was meditating. And Naradji was passing. So he came out from his meditation and saw Narad there. So he asked Narad, "Where are you going?" Narad said, "I'm going to meet Bhagwan Vishnu." He said, "Really? Oh, please ask him one question for me. I want Bhagwan Vishnu to tell me how many more lifetimes I'll have to take before I get moksha, liberation." I said, "No problem, I'll ask." And again, Narad encountered another sadhak, and the same question, same request also. And Narad went to Vaikunth and met Bhagwan, and when he was passing back that way, that second fellow he met first. So he said, "You asked?" Narad said, "Yes, I asked him." "What did Bhagwan say?" "Bhagwan said that you'll have to take 5 more lifetimes before you get moksha." 5 more? Oh, this Prabhu is heartless. I've been slugging it out for so many lifetimes. And still 5 more lifetimes? I don't want this moksha anymore. I thought I would have gotten it in this lifetime itself, you know. And then when Narad came to the second man, he said, "You asked Bhagwan?" Narada said, "Yes, I asked him." "What did he say?" "He said, you'll have to wait so many lifetimes as there are leaves on this tree under which you are sitting. So many more lifetimes you'll have to wait." "Only this one tree? Oh, thank you. And he started dancing now. He felt so happy. Thank God he didn't say the whole forest. One tree. Now see how much of determination he had. He didn't mind also if it's all the trees on so many lifetimes, all these trees, leaves on this tree. And the other fellow with 5 lifetimes only, he got discouraged. So that type of discouragement we should not have. We always have this great determination that if it takes so many lifetimes, we will do. And do you know, if determination is strong, that intensifies the sadhana. If determination is strong, it intensifies the sadhana. If the sadhana becomes intensified, the number of lifetimes become less. In fact, it can happen like that also. So strong determination that this is mine. I'm going to pursue this, come what may. These are verses on enlightenment, actually. So he prostrates and he says, "You are my guru," because this is your realization. You realize that you're the sakshi. You are the witness, and not only the uninvolved witness, but the witness that causes the entire universe to go on. That causes all things to happen in 3 states also. Okay. Now, we will see tomorrow's verse tomorrow.
Om Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.